is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The economy, recovery, the virus, all big questions, and we come to the report in the Wall Street Journal on the jobs for January. U.S. jobs surged by 467,000 in January as economy weathered Omicron. Subhead, unemployment rate ticked up to 4%, more people joining the workforce. All good news. There will be adjustments, but I welcome Liz Peek, a columnist at The Hill, a columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business, to observe what this tells us about how we've learned to manage the virus, manage the mandates, and we're aware that we need to reawaken the American economy. Liz, there are good numbers from the GDP. This January number may be distorted by certain considerations, but it certainly indicates Omicron did not level us the way Delta did. Do you anticipate now in this reawakening of the economy that the Federal Reserve will be a component of it, that the Congress will be a component of it, that we'll be all going in the same direction? Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening. I was going to say yes and yes until you got to that final comment that we're all going in the same direction. I think the answer is no. So where are we economically? The economy is surging in nominal terms. What that means is inflation is very high, over 7%. We'll get a read on that the day after tomorrow, but most people are thinking that prices are up 7 to 7.5% year over year, maybe more. But what's interesting is, as you point out, the economy is very strong still. Spending, according to Bank of America, credit card and debt spending up 16% year over year in January. That's a huge number. And you're seeing those kinds of numbers throughout all the reporting that's coming in, John, and including the jobs. My take on the jobs number, which, by the way, as you point out, was sort of scrambled by new population estimates, new seasonal adjustments. Who knows what the real number was? But clearly, to me, employers didn't let people go. I mean, what we're still seeing out of the small business reports and just anecdotally, it's still impossible to hire people. You're still seeing incredible concessions made to workers, particularly higher wages, and that's something we need to talk about. But I think in that Omicron, there were 2 million people out sick or something in January, but they didn't get fired. I mean, that's really the point. And also, we're seeing the effects of the reopening trade, if you will. The biggest jump was in leisure and hospitality employment, as not so surprising, because it's really those businesses, whether it's cruise lines or hotels or restaurants, that have really been crushed by not just mandates, really, but also people being nervous about Omicron and worried about getting sick. So I think that employers were very concerned about not letting people go just because all of a sudden business took a little bit of a dip. And again, what is concerning, I think, to the Fed, and I think it is the number one issue right now, we have an ongoing shortage of labor, and in response, employers are jacking up wages, which are running about 6% higher year over year. My guess is that will continue to move higher. All the data that you look at, whether it's small business intention to raise wages, that's at 50% right now, highest ever recorded. Their intention to raise prices, not surprisingly, even higher than that to compensate for those wage increases. Also record levels going back to the 80s. So we're really setting some pretty remarkable new records here. And I think what investors are focused on, and the reason for a lot of volatility in the market, there's no question that the Fed is trending more aggressive with every week that passes, and certainly that jobs number will encourage not two, not three, possibly as many as five or six rate hikes this year, or a more aggressive 50 basis point hike at some point.
More good news. This is the ISM, the Institute of Supply Management. Economic activity in the manufacturing sector grew in January, with the overall economy achieving a 20th consecutive month of growth. The January manufacturing PMI, quite different from the ISM, registered 56.6%, a decrease of 1.2%. I stopped there because there was not a blow to manufacturing in January. There was what you'd have to say a steady state. So absenteeism, Omicron fears, mandates, Liz. Mandates are still in place in many of the important manufacturing centers, and yet the economy surges ahead. This all supports the Federal Reserve and its intention to raise rates, but not to damage the growth. They're dealing with inflation. I don't think they're going to slow down manufacturing. Tell me, will the Federal Reserve permit themselves to be the cause of a manufacturing slowdown?
Well, I think manufacturing, as we've discussed in recent months, is really being buoyed not just by that end consumer demand, which obviously is kind of the main issue, but it's also because inventories were so, so low. And the only thing in that ISM report that it should be a little bit of a red flag, and it's just a tiny note at this point, is that inventories seem to be getting back a little bit to more normal levels. Backlogs were down a little bit, or they weren't down. Let's say the rate of increase is declining. So there's just a little bit of adjustment that's taken place. Remember, consumer demand in the fourth quarter was not great. What drove the economy in the fourth quarter was inventory building. And that's a combination which only goes on for so long. Again, the Bank of America number in January was pretty stunningly good in terms of consumer spending. That suggests that's doing well, and the manufacturing kind of replenishment trade, if you will, is still doing well. Right now, that's why we're seeing such, you know, we will see such big nominal GDP number. Again, in real terms, I'm not sure. You know, the Atlanta Fed is still at basically no growth in the first quarter. I disagree with that. I think we will see real growth, maybe, I don't know, 3 or 4%. Nominal, though, it's going to be 10, 11, 12%. The Fed has got to step up here. You know, several months ago, I wrote a piece about how Democrats would soon throw Jay Powell under the bus because they don't want to be tagged with big spending being the reason for inflation. So all of a sudden you see Washington Post now come out with an article about, oh gosh, the money supply, guess what, is up 30% over 2 years in the United States. Isn't that the reason for inflation? Most people would say, yeah, that is a huge thing. The Fed is way behind the eight ball on this. And to your question, John, when you say, can the Fed allow or will it permit? Do you think the Fed, given what we've seen over the last couple of years, really has a handle on how their policies are impacting inflation? I'm sorry, I really don't. I think that they've missed the boat, and now, you know, the great concern would be that they overcorrect. I mean, it's like a driver driving down the road, clearly going the wrong direction, who then takes a huge spin of the wheel and ends up in a ditch by overcorrecting. That's the concern.
The old saw about the court reads the front page. I'm wondering if the Fed reads the front page. It hasn't for a year. Has it now caught up? I point to the Bank of England. I'm told that the Bank of England decision to raise rates for the second consecutive time, 0.25 point, was also part of a vote where almost a majority voted to raise it 0.5 point. That indicates that this isn't just an American story. It's a global story. Does that help the Fed? Does that buoy the Fed to be correct now after getting the whole of 2021 wrong?
Well, I think it certainly is a global effort. Even the ECB, as you noticed, has come around now after being very reluctant to acknowledge inflation or take any measures. So I think that the Fed has got the wind in its back in terms of having a pretty good excuse for doing this. But the real excuse for doing this is, you know, we have a wage price spiral which has now taken hold. More and more economists are agreeing to that. Even 3 months ago, people said, oh, that's not going to happen. It is happening. When you have Amazon raising their base pay for people, I think it was like 50% to get them to stay. When you have all kinds of rate hikes being put in place by employers who can't hire, you've got a problem. And all those, again, the small business surveys show all those people raising wages are also going to raise prices. So the Fed has to step in. This is a serious issue for the economy and also, frankly, for the government. I mean, Joe Biden's White House is getting low marks on the economy, mainly because of inflation. And you saw in the fourth quarter, consumers all of a sudden retrenched. I think there was all kinds of issues having to do with supply shortages and stuff. But one of the issues that's weighing on consumer sentiment is definitely inflation. So, you know, one of the things actually surprises me we've not heard more about is the impact on retired people and people on fixed incomes. I mean, those are the people who really take it on the chin when prices start to go up because they are not participating. They don't get higher wages. So I'm a little surprised that the policymakers aren't talking more about that. But in any case, the Fed has to move. It will move. Whether it will do so adroitly, I have no idea.
More good news that construction spending was up for the previous cycle, December. Now, we're not in the big construction period, but that suggests that people are continuing to spend money. And here's the puzzle I have observing this large economy. Do we have an explanation for why the Fed was deaf to the facts in 2021? Has anyone come forward? I read the Journal and I read the Financial Times, but I don't read inside the insider stuff that you see, Liz.
Well, I think Jay Powell was very vocal in 2020 about how he was jacking up the money supply with negative interest rates as radically as he possibly could, and that the Congress had to come through with fiscal stimulus, and boy, did they. And so when all of a sudden we had not $1 trillion, but not $2 trillion, but actually $4 trillion being spent to stimulate the economy, I think it was very hard for Jay Powell to turn around and say, okay, now, you know, that's huge, and you've done possibly too much, and now we see consumers spending money like crazy. Now we have to start pulling back on the growth in the money supply. And so I think he had a difficult position. I also, frankly, think in the fall he was looking forward to his renomination or not. And I think if he, any time, let's say, post-August, maybe post-June, had come out and said, okay, it's time to put the brakes on this economy, I think Joe Biden would have looked elsewhere for a new Fed chair. So, I hate to ascribe, sort of human self-interest to what Jay Powell's been up to, but I think it's kind of true because, gosh, you know, you and I were talking about this.
You wrote column after column. The prices,
Yeah, and Larry Summers was out there yelling and screaming. And lots of people have been saying, watch it. This is too much too soon. The economy's too hot. Eventually, this is going to be a problem. The Fed, I think it was Hank Paulson who said the Fed's been consistently wrong for 39 years. I don't know why he picked that number. This is some time ago in a speech he made. And I thought it was funny at the time, but maybe it's not so funny. I mean, look, they've got a very tough job to do. They're trying to analyze and interpret all kinds of incoming data. But the truth is, it was not that hard to see, particularly when elements like rents were bound to go up. Housing prices went through the roof last year. And that was bound to translate into higher rents, which, by the way, continues to be an ongoing component of high CPI numbers. And then we had energy prices going up. So it didn't really take a genius to think, this is probably going to translate. And then you had this enormous surge in consumer spending. So it was just both sides of the sort of economic stimulus package coming together. And I think it was a mistake.
Liz Peek of The Hill, a columnist of Fox News, a columnist, much on Fox Business. We turn to the reawakening, not only of the economy, but also of the cities. Back to work. I'm John Batchelor.